why don't we get Morris Mizalowski on the line now and have a chat about what's happening in the future, where we're going, what we're doing, what stuff's coming along, all that exciting sort of stuff. G'day, Morris. How are you doing?
I'm terrific, Jason. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm having a wonderfully daggy day today.
It sounds like it. Make me a non-wimp for coming on
here. Well, only if you're prepared to tell us about what some of your favourite daggy songs.
Oh, I would say the worst of all would have to be good old MacArthur Park.
Oh, someone left my cake out in the rain.
And while I was listening to you, I looked up the words for it, which I've never done before.
Mm.
And I think we're going to have to take it off my list.
Now, was it? It's a movie star that actually sings that song, isn't it? Richard Harris, was it?
You're better than me.
Yeah, no, it's one of those songs that just goes beyond the pale, and so I make a point of knowing a little bit about it. But I could be wrong. If any of our listeners know anything more about that, I'd encourage them to phone in.
Yeah,
but that's...
It was definitely the music. It is not the lyrics, that's sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But look, Morris, you're not phoning in to call about daggy songs. You're actually phoning in this afternoon so that we can talk about some of the cool stuff that we're finding out there in the world at the moment.
I hope so. And we particularly want to talk about the work of world, the world of work.
Oh, okay.
Now you've got me for putting my teeth in back to front. So I thought, what triggered it for me was a survey that I read on Slashdot. And Slashdot is one of those online places where the nerds hang out.
News for nerds, stuff that matters.
News for nerds, isn't it wonderful?
Mm.
And they did this survey very recently where 27,000 of their readers answered the question of how many hours do they really, really being in bold letters, work each day?
So not how long they're at work, but how long they're actually doing work.
How long they're actually toiling and doing something constructive.
Well, we're talking about nerds here, though, aren't we?
Well, we probably are with that group, but still 27,000 is a fairly good representation of people out there doing stuff, and it's worldwide. And what I thought was most telling was that the 40% of the responses claim to work, again, bold, uppercase, fewer than 4 hours a day.
Oh, boy.
And when you think about all the requirements that we put on people when they are at work, that kind of makes sense. There's so much stuff for them to be doing around and about what they need to do that when they get down to doing it, there's not much time for it.
That's pretty scary, though, isn't it, to think that you're only actually getting 4 hours of productive time out of your staff?
I think so, but not unusual. I mean, you know, it's a tale that we've been telling for quite a while. So I think we need to get better at getting more, but also more realistic about it, too.
Do you reckon it's because they're spending time on things like Facebook and MySpace and YouTube?
I think that there is certainly some answer in there, but that's relatively new in the scope of things. I think it's true for this audience, but this audience, especially the Slashdot one, would be saying that they're using that for productive means. They're using it for niceness, not evil. So they might argue that's incorporated in their 40%. But yeah, I think that there are just so many time requirements on it. If you take the old email, I started off my work life long before email, and I've been talking to my clients in the 90s already, that email was taking up at that stage up to about an hour and a half of people's time a day, responding, reading, and doing stuff with.
Yeah.
We're now up to over 2 hours a day, if you allow it to control you, which I don't think is a great thing, of course, and you and I could talk about that.
Mm.
But if you allow it to control you, and you've got your emails, and then all of a sudden you've got all this social media stuff that's coming at you now, and that's taking up more people's time.
Well,
the Facebook, the YouTube,
the Twitter.
LinkedIn, the Twitter.
Yeah, I see people on Twitter who are updating like, you know, 6 and 7 times a day. That's got to be time consuming.
Look, I think Red Bull must make a fortune. Somebody's got to have all these people caffeined.
Yeah.
I mean, I was reading this week some of the Twitter responses, and it's become almost a sport to see how many Twitter followers you can get, and followers are people that want to read whatever it is you say on Twitter.
Mm.
And there's a sport going around how many hours you can spend versus how many people you can maneuver to your site to follow you. And I was reading one guy who said that he spent over the last 3 weeks on average 6 hours a day. This was on purpose, trying to see how many followers he could get, and he was up to about 5,000 or something.
So if he's got a working life and a family, where is he finding this 6 hours?
I have no idea. And I was asking myself the same question. So, you know, it comes down to really effective use of time.
Yeah.
But the whole notion of work and what we're doing is very, very different now. We are, to my mind, walking through the valley into something very different. When work will change significantly, and has. I know we've always said that. But we went through the Great Industrial Revolution, and that took us off the farmland, took us into the cities, gave us the notion that we had to work work in a centralised place, turn up at 9 o'clock, finish at 5, watch a clock. And we're really going through the equivalent now, the equivalent change of a revolution. And it's a technological one. And at the other end of it, I think work is going to look very, very different again.
Now, Morris, jobs exist today that didn't exist even 10 years ago. Things like web designers.
Yes, and how popular they are. I mean, when I'm doing my presentations, I use a wonderful example of a fender maker. Now, a fender maker was a really big position in the late 1800s. It was something that many people aspired to and got you lots and lots of money in those days. But when I ask an audience what a fender maker is, traditionally I get told it's somebody that might be making iron bits and pieces or the front of a car, which wouldn't have been true in 1880 anyway. A fender maker was somebody that made ropes for boats. So, and what you said was absolutely right, that if I talked to somebody about a web designer 20 years ago, they'd say, well, why do spiders need somebody to help them put together a spider web?
Well, what about jobs into the future then? I mean, I know it's really hard to predict what's going to happen 10 years from now, but where do you reckon, what sort of industries do you reckon we'll see these brand new jobs coming into?
Well, definitely online, no surprise there.
Yeah.
But I think we're also going to see a whole lot more robots in the workplace. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the Daleks or, you know, R2-D2, unfortunately. So, you know, that's not going to happen in the short term, although we're seeing some really nice stuff done around those. But what we're going to see is, like we have in the car manufacturing, yes, there are issues there nowadays with that industry.
Oh, yeah.
But like car manufacturing and a whole lot of others where robots have become popular, we're going to see them moving into more of the mainstream industries. And these robots will be single or dual task pieces of equipment. That's all that they'll be, just a fancy piece of equipment that can do something that a person might have been able to do before. And to manage all of that, one of the jobs moving forward that I love is called a transhumanist.
Transhumanist?
Transhumanist designer / technician.
Oh, you've got to explain that. What's a transhumanist?
I was hoping you'd ask. Now, a transhumanist designer / technician is really an HR, human resource position. So it's somebody in an organisation who's looking after the workflow and the people. And this person is going to manage the workflow between robots and people.
Okay.
So figure out what a robot can do particularly well for the organisation, what people do particularly well for the organisation, and then put the workflow together for both of those. And we see a few of those people. There are some of them in the States in the really big job, in the really big companies. There are some in Europe, again, in the really big companies. And I'd say we're going to see more of those over the next 10 or 15 years. One of the ones that I've only just been asked for in the last few months and never had to look for before was an online evangelist.
Okay, evangelizing what? Religion?
The company. No. Now, remember Bill Gates called himself an evangelist.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve Jobs calls himself an evangelist. An evangelist is somebody, apart from the religious connotation, that goes forth and espouses the company. Says, we're really great, you have to listen, this is what we want to do for you.
So we're not talking about spammers here?
No, absolutely not. We're talking about people that are dedicated to being online for that company, who are monitoring the Twitters and the Facebooks and the LinkedIn and the other social networking sites. So these companies are beginning to realise the importance of an online presence beyond the website, beyond just a shopping cart, and saying we really need to dedicate ourselves to having somebody who permanently looks at our reputation, our business online, and makes sure it is as it should be. So for me, that's a new one. Not surprising that we're looking for that kind of person, but surprised that it's come up so quickly as a full-time career.
One of the other things that I've started seeing on some websites as well, and I've got a little bit of background on this because I do, outside of 6PR, I also work in the IT industry, and one of the things I do know is there's people starting to pop up who offer to do websites for you, but in fact they're not really doing the work. They're actually outsourcing the work off to places like India.
Yes.
Now, do you think that sort of work style will become more popular into the future?
Absolutely. Outsourcing and insourcing. Now, do you know on that India thing, this blew me when I found out. I actually came across a client a couple of weeks ago who was doing this. They were employing full-time contractors, IT contractors, in other words, information technology computer people in India. And these were very, very high-powered, well-heeled people. Their salary in India was $240 a month.
A month?
A month. And that was giving them a bonus above and beyond what the mainstream industry was paying.
Jesus.
That's why were outsourcing.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different ball game. But that was amazing. So this particular client had put together a team of 60 people of various qualifications, various pay scales, to manage their business and had grown it based on that. So when we start to talk those figures, it's kind of like China, where we were making, where we went to manufacturing in China because it was cheaper. We're now going to other places for our IT and for lots of other things because the brain power is cheaper there. So I think we're going to be seeing more and more of it. But that's the big scale of things, but you and I in small or medium business can do it really well online too. There's this notion of crowdsourcing, which is kind of like this outsourcing, insourcing thing. And that's where we look for people online to help us to do something. And the something could be to do our typing, it could be to do our letterheads or our logos or to find us people.
So it's kind of like micro outsourcing.
Yes, yes, and online. And there are some really, really great ones around. Now, one of them's called crowdspring.com. Crowdspring.com. And if you go to crowdspring.com, what you're doing is harnessing a community. So you're going to ask this community some advice or some opinion or something that you want some information about. And they're going to go away, they're going to think about it, and they're going to come back to you ongoing with all sorts of answers and insights. So that's one broad one, but there's a couple of specific ones that have really taken off lately. One of them's, and apologies to graphic designers here, one of them's for graphic design online, and it's called 99, the number 9, number 9, designs.com. If you go to 99 Designs and put up a brief, so put up a couple of sentences about what sort of company you are, what sort of logo you're looking for, what sort of stationery, in other words, what look you want for your company, and how much you're willing to pay for that to be done, you'll then get designers from around the world competing for your work. And on that site, they'll put up their prototypes, so they'll put up their potential logos that they think will suit your purposes, or the stationery, or the web, or whatever else you've asked them to design. And the other people around the web will then vote on it as well.
Nice.
And you'll also get to vote on it. And you have a week or 2 weeks or whatever time you put on it then to look at more designs, to ask for iterations, to ask for changes to your design, or have conversations with these people, and eventually end up with a design that the community has decided, has thought was a good one, and you liked as well, and for a very modest price.
So really starting to leverage off the internet, the web itself, and take advantage of how many people are actually using it. And, you know, a single person's opinion might not sway you, but when you get a whole bunch of people placing their opinion on it, that has weight, I guess.
It absolutely does. But not only has weight, it has insight, because from a marketer's viewpoint, what you're really asking is the potential customer to tell you whether they think it's a great idea or not.
That's magic.
I like this design. I don't like this design. I like this way that you talk about yourself. I don't like this way. Have you thought about saying this? Looking like that, doing that. And that's where the real joy, the synergy comes in from a marketing strategy viewpoint, that you can get that kind of communal wisdom quite easily now and relatively inexpensive for most businesses.
Brilliant.
It's not a bad world. I mean, it has some downsides, but not a bad world.
Morris, all these sort of websites that you come up with, is there a place where if someone's listening and they've forgotten what you've mentioned, a place where they can go and find all these links?
Oh, you knew there had to be. It's at my website. It's called MorrisYourEyeOnTheFuture.com. And if they go down to the bottom, they'll find it there. It's called Free Love.
Free Love.
Free Love.
We like that.
Yeah, we do. If they have a look around there, it'll give them the links and some more insight into them.
So www.morrisyoureyeonthefuture.com.au?
No.
Just .com.
Enough typing by the time you get to com.
Yeah, it's quite a long name, it is. Morris, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's been my absolute pleasure.
And I guess Todd will have the pleasure of having you back on again next week.
I look forward to it.
That's
I look
magic.
Forward to hearing some more Daggy songs.
Well, I've got one for you right at the moment as well. I was thinking that because, you know, it's all to do with the future and computers and all that kind of thing, I thought I might go back into, well, I think it's the late 70s, with a band called Mysex and a song called Computer Games.
Oh, wonderful.
Here you go, just for you.
Terrific. See you, Jay.
See ya.